Jack Robinson joins us. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
Jack is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We chat on Fridays about business in the region, including Davis, where later this month the city council is scheduled to discuss an idea to turn some farmland into a research park. Of course, a lot of business interests support that idea, but imagine there'll be some controversy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Of course, Davis is famous for protecting open space, and the land in question was, in fact, on track to be preserved. But there are some business interests that have been agitating for a research park to accommodate a growing number of companies, particularly tech and biotech firms that want to be near the UC Davis campus. So the council, some on the council anyway, want to talk about whether that's a better use for this land. Our tech writer, Mark Anderson, wrote a piece this week exploring this issue, and it turns out there's really not much land left in Davis for companies that need some elbow room.
Well, can't companies locate nearby, like in West Sacramento or Woodland?
Yeah, certainly, and they do. You know, just this year, a big Davis company that is now part of the global giant Bayer moved, or is in the process of moving, from Davis to West Sac because it simply couldn't expand. And the concern is that there are companies that want to be near the campus where they can work with scientists and bring in interns and so forth. And if they can't be in Davis, well, they could choose to go to some other research university that may be in communities that do a better job of making land available nearby.
With all we've been through after the housing bubble burst, people may think that the days of easy mortgage money were already gone, but even stricter rules are coming. What's this going to mean for the housing market?
You know, we've been talking for months about how strict the banks are being in these post-crash days, and you know, lenders are afraid to make even the smallest slip, and as a result, consumers who aren't squeaky clean may be shut out. But these new standards that will take effect next year have lenders worried that even fewer families will qualify. You know, plain vanilla loans will still be likely to get through, but it could be a rude surprise for the housing industry, including lenders who are just starting to put the pieces back together after the crash.
So what rules are we talking about, and how would they make loans harder to get?
These are new standards under federal rules designed to protect consumers. In particular, they're designed to make sure banks don't, you know, let people take out loans that they can't afford. One provision, as an example, would prohibit loans that push a family's debt above 43% of its income. And sort of the stick that the lenders are worried about here is that they could be liable if loans that don't meet those standards ever go bad.
Also this week, a Carmichael couple began work redeveloping a strip mall, the old Hillside Center on Fair Oaks Boulevard, into what they say will be much like a public market. And it seems like public markets are all the rage lately.
Very hot right now. And actually, it's kind of an interesting coincidence. Also this week, the backers of a plan to build a public market in Sacramento staged an event to drum up support. What people are imagining or talking about is something like the Ferry Building in San Francisco or Pike Place Market in Seattle, these funky local shops selling local food in sort of close quarters. I don't know how close the Carmichael strip mall, which is called Milagro Center, we'll get to that. But it does show that the developers see a consumer appetite here, and this means that the public market idea really could materialize.
We've had a lot of news this week about alternatives to traditional cars here in the Sacramento area.
Strangely, all this seems to be popping up at once. One piece of news is that Zipcars, the company that lets members rent by the hour, is expanding the number of cars available. These are the cars that park in those spots. I always see them in Midtown where I try to park and discover that I have to back out of that spot when I see the sign. And there are a couple of other companies also announcing that they are launching or relaunching, in one case, services to provide shared rides.
Well, what's the difference between sharing rides and what Zipcars does?
These are services. One's called Uber, U-B-E-R, and the other is called Lyft. Of course, there's a Y in it. It's Lyft, L-Y-F-T. Connect riders with people who have cars. It's sort of an informal taxi service, sort of the automotive equivalent of Airbnb, that service that lets people rent a room for a night in a stranger's house. So anyway, the rollout of these services has been a little rocky because there was some concern about liability and licenses and so forth and some opposition from taxi companies. But last month, the PUC came out with new rules, and it'll be interesting to see if this takes off.
We've got a full breakdown of the differences between these services, Zipcars, Uber, and Lyft, including a chart and video at our website, capradio.org. That's also where you can hear previous business roundups with the editor of the Sacramento Business Journal, Jack Robinson. Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome, Steve.
I'm Steve Milne, Capital Public Radio News.